Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome into Vanessa and Gallant. Thanks for hanging with us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. We have our producer, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. And what a weekend it was as Nick Caserio, Lovie Smith, and the Texans finished off that 2022 NFL draft. And they're getting some high praise from around the league.
And it's nice to see that praise. How much of the praise should you believe? That remains to be seen. But I am generally a sucker for drafting as many players from the SEC as I can, because SEC players are going up against talent on a practice-by-practice to game-by-game basis that other schools can't say. And we actually did hear, Vanessa, from both on both Kenyon Green and from Derek Stingley Jr. talking about playing in the SEC.
I feel like SEC, you know, you got to be prepared and ready each and every week, because you're going against somebody that's, you know, on your same level or even higher. So, you know, you got to match it and make sure that, you know, you focus locked in, like, mentally and physically.
And I also think that even in practice every single day, with the schools that we went to, we had to be ready for that, not just weekends, every day.
SEC. I hate to be SEC hardo, but, I mean, I, pound for pound, will take anybody in that conference. If I don't know anything about them other than the conference that they played in, there could be a 5'10", 170-pound right tackle who played in the SEC versus some other guy who fits all the measurables, and I'll probably be like, yeah, I think I like the SEC guy better.
They are facing competition week in and week out that are future NFL players. It can't be denied. And Nick Caserio had actually said as much. They had him live during the draft on, I guess it would have been ESPN with Reese Davis and that crew, and they asked him about it. They said, almost all of your picks have been SEC. And Nick Caserio said, look, we love every conference, but the SEC just basically hits different, and the competition is there. As you said, Stingley, Derek Stingley Jr., their top pick at number 3 overall. Kenyon Green, the guy from Humble, Texas, who actually watched it just a couple of miles away from NRG Stadium. Same with Jalen Petre. And then I like John Metchie. I'm extremely excited for him, the Alabama wide receiver.
I mean, those
coming
guys
back from an injury.
He's got a pretty good track record.
But you're talking about players that a lot of people think almost slid down. Metchie was at 44 overall. So I'm excited for him. Yes, I know he had an injury. He injured it in the SEC game, you said. I thought it was the championship game, but it was Alabama. And so I'm excited for him, and I'm excited to see what he can do. And overall, I think it was an exciting draft pick. Texans fans have not had like an exciting draft in years where they're getting top caliber guys in the first couple of rounds. And
yeah,
this was that.
Yeah. And you know, you can stereotype, as I was sort of doing with the SEC guys. You know, the reason that I'm with you on that pick of Metchie, just look at some of the Alabama wide receivers in the NFL. I mean, obviously he's never going to play again, but Henry Ruggs,
right?
Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, like that position has generally worked out pretty well. And I mean, you have Jamison Williams going earlier in that draft too, another Alabama wide receiver. They have been just absolutely raking over the last couple of years on that front. I'm intrigued, mainly because of the comparisons that I heard, but I am intrigued by Petre coming out of Baylor.
Ooh, okay.
Because there's two things to weigh here. First, he played in the Big 12. Stereotyping the Big 12, they don't play defense in the Big 12. That's at least the first thing that you generally think of. But the last couple of years, Baylor's been a pretty damn good program. And when you hear someone compared to Tyrann Mathieu because of his instincts,
and somebody who also has played linebacker before, as football gets more and more positionless on the defensive side of things, where you see someone like Micah Parsons, obviously the most extreme example of this in Dallas, being moved from pass rusher to middle linebacker to sort of playing this hybrid safety linebacker role too, because they feel comfortable putting him anywhere on the field. I like hearing about players like this, and I'm curious as to how Lovie Smith thinks he could be best used. But a player like that could be a total flameout. All of these picks could be busts. Important to remember that. But the way that you can use a player that has that kind of versatility right. defensively, as opposed to being like some sort of offensive lineman where you're moving him around, I don't like that. But I do like the idea of moving a defensive player
all over
the field.
Well, we had always heard Bill O'Brien talk about versatility, but you know, there are certain points where you have to worry about specialization and being the best at your position. But to your point, he's good at everything that he does. So it's a little bit of a different story.
Damian
Pierce, Thomas Booker, there were a lot of good picks. And, you know, Nick Caserio will be the first one to say, quote, "I don't even know what that means" when he talks about draft grades. But it was an exciting draft for Texans fans.
It's just good to have players, period. You know, it's one thing to go into a year after a power struggle between a head coach and an ex-preacher turned vice president.
It will always be one of the weirdest storylines in the NFL.
Ultimately leads to a quarterback demanding a trade and then being accused of sexual misconduct, which was followed by hiring the equivalent of a patsy as a head coach. I mean, that's just a year. Oh, and by the way, you don't have a first or a second round draft pick in that draft.
I mean, that was brutal.
How bad was last
year? Well, and you
year?
Didn't even mention the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Oh, yeah. What? No big
Never
deal.
Never forget the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
And J.J. Watt.
And then J.J. Watt, them being like, you know what? Go.
And they did the same to Whitney Merciless halfway through the
you know
year.
What? Go.
Who's like a Texans
Be
legend
yourself.
Because of just how rough the team's history has been. Oh, he played 10 years. Does he go in the Ring of Honor? Like, jeez. You could just go on and on with depressing stuff. So, yes, they could have picked a... Would you have been okay? Say they like took the punt god in the second round, the kid from San Diego State, who the highlights of were amazing. Like, even then, you would probably be like, yeah! That's exciting.
You know, when
although it would have been bad for the Bill Burr-esque looking punter that they have now.
I said
his name eludes me.
The first after the first round. So on Friday morning, I had said the Texans had a good draft, and I got a lot of responses that was basically like, "Things cannot get worse, Vanessa. What do you mean?" And it's not a terrible point, but it was nice to see somebody like Nick Caserio step in, and for there to seem to be some, you know, there were hugs, they were happy. It was nice.
We got more people adding in. Cutting Zach Cunningham with no return.
Never forget.
God, they gave him an extension.
Suspending, what, Justin Reed?
Justin Reed, who ended up being their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, by the way.
And signed a pretty lucrative contract with the Chiefs.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, they almost hired Josh McCown.
They did almost hire Josh McCown and then Brian Flores.
That pesky little racial discrimination lawsuit got in the way. Foiled that plan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
A franchise that has not had maybe as many missteps as the Texans would be the New Orleans Saints. And I do think they got better today, or they're going to get better in the days to come. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reporting that they're expected to sign all-pro safety Tyrann Mathieu. Sources say a long-awaited signing that should be finalized in the upcoming days. The Honey Badger lands in a perfect spot homecoming for him.
Yeah, that's going to be fun for him, I'd imagine. And I don't think he's going to be the kind of difference maker for the Saints that you hear his name and you think he can be. There's a couple of other defensive backs across the NFL that are name brand only. And once it's like buying a car with a defensive back, like it after a couple of years, the guy's not going to be as athletic as he used to be. Patrick Peterson, I think, is another example of this. So with Mathieu, you're getting a proven in the past player. But the Saints defense, I don't think this affects the Saints defense that much. And that's because I think the Saints defense is already damn good. Like, that's a, considering the lack of help that they had offensively last year, that they were able to put together the year that they did, I think speaks volumes about who they have on the defensive side of the ball.
There's a lot of movement in the draft, including a lot of trades. Of course, A.J. Brown heading to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. From the Tennessee Titans.
God, what a dumb trade.
Mike Vrabel did not seem happy about that
one.
Well,
he shouldn't be. I mean, this is, it's, I touched on this on Friday. But this is just proof that the Titans are a, compared to other NFL organizations, they are one with less money to work with. Like, yes, there's a salary cap, but there are certain teams that actually have the kind of confidence in the cash flow to give out a big time extension to someone like AJ Brown. But imagine, like, in the same week that the Titans also announced that they will be getting $500 million in public funding to build a brand new stadium, that they also decide that they're not going to give AJ Brown an extension.
Over $2 million.
Right, when Brown didn't ask for a trade, at least based off of what he is saying. And then they just draft some guy from Arkansas and you think it's going to be all fine? I mean, I guess it's the one thing that made sense for the Titans to do, Vanessa, was that they drafted Malik Willis later on in the draft. Not that I think Malik Willis is necessarily going to be good, but Ryan Tannehill stinks compared to where the rest of the roster is. Like, he is the clear weakest link. So, you know, you feel good about the running game. You feel good about the wide receivers, at least before the A.J. Brown trade. You feel good about the defense. But Ryan Tannehill is the weakest link. So, okay, great. Like, you did that, but everything that they did does not scream, we were 13-4 last season and had the one seed in the AFC.
We're going to talk about who we think the AFC South favorite could be after this draft at the 11:30 hour, and we definitely want you guys' take on that, so make sure you stay tuned. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we touch on the Astros and the NBA playoffs continue. That's next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Dusty Baker used the term playoff time to describe the competition between the Blue Jays and the Astros this week. And the Blue Jays ended up, of course, taking the series thanks to a former Astro in large part, George Springer. But it was good baseball, and you certainly think that you could see these two teams down the line once we do get into the playoffs and later in the season.
Well, assuming the Astros can score runs ever. I'm sorry, one run.
We are a month in, so now your worry is a little bit more justified.
I feel like if the worry has been me saying the same thing over and over again with results to point to via scoreboards of one run on Sunday, two runs on Saturday. I feel like there's a certain point where you just got to admit this offense is not going to be what it's been in years past. And whether that's because, as some would argue, of the way that Dusty Baker has been laying out the lineup, or maybe with the off days that whatever James Click and his Nerd Brigade's formula have to give load management to these players, whatever you want to blame, or maybe it's Jose Altuve and just notorious slow starters. I feel like right now with the offense that you've seen, it makes you nervous. The pitching has done enough. The pitching did enough. You only give up two runs against that Blue Jays lineup,
and you still lose.
I mean, that's great work by the pitching, but the offense has got to give you more than four runs. That's all we're asking for here. And stuff like we saw on Friday where they score 11 and they're smacking the bejesus out of the ball, that's been the anomaly thus far with the Astros offense.
This is way oversimplifying it, but when you just look at it from a very broad perspective, the years past with this Astros team, you just knew that there was always going to be a guy or two that would step up and get it done. I don't care if it was Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, George Springer, Carlos Correa, I mean, you just knew that, okay, they're down two runs. It's the eighth inning.
You feel confident.
They're still fine.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally going to win the game because somebody is going to always get it done.
It's an incredible luxury.
Alvarez.
Right.
And I feel like, look, I've been in Houston for almost 3 years. You've been back and forth in Houston for how long? I mean, it just seemed like
a decade.
There was always, once you got past, of course, the rebuild and them winning the World Series in 17, there just was always somebody around that was going to get it done. And I personally do not feel that anymore.
Right. It's all about gut feeling for we, the two casual baseball observers.
Right.
But
we're not analytics people.
A month into the year, I don't have that same feeling of they could be down six runs in the ninth inning and I would feel obligated to watch the ninth inning.
Yep.
Because you felt, okay, well, it's possible and I owe them my respect. I owe them my time. And to this point, you're just wondering, okay, when is it going to start? Okay. And you can keep on pointing at the same excuses over and over again, but the reality is they're a 500 baseball team right now, and they very rarely score runs. And considering the players, the names that they have in their lineup, that is unacceptable. Can it change? Sure. Will it change? I hope so. But what am I banking on changing? Like Altuve's return, all of a sudden things are better?
Right. Jeremy Pena having more incredible games.
Because Pena's playing well.
Like Pena's doing really well. But if you would have told me at the beginning of spring training, hey, Jeremy Pena is going to be the one that's actually carried this team to a few of the wins, I would have said, you're nuts.
Or it's, you know, Brantley's been the most consistent. And Bregman, you know how good Bregman is. This might just be a flukish thing where they're not able to get runners home when they're still featuring some of the names that they feature in that lineup. Kyle Tucker, Jordan Alvarez, amongst all the other ones too. But it's getting more and more concerning as it goes on. Not saying the season's done or anything like that, but I would be going into a series against Toronto. If you ask me about a potential playoff series against Toronto going into this year, I would have said, let's hold on a second with Toronto. Right now, I would not feel confident that the Astros would win that series based off of what we've seen over the last two series over the past couple of weeks.
Meanwhile, Jose Altuve is expected to be back in the lineup tonight as the Astros take on the Mariners. He had a good little stint with the Sugar Land Cowboys. I don't think they sold out, but they had some really great crowds Friday and Saturday. He took a couple cute pictures with babies, made time for fans. Good for Jose Altuve. Nice guy. Nice guy award. And yeah, hopefully him coming back from that hamstring injury does make a difference in the Astros offensively and putting some runs on the board.
Score. Me want runs. Me simple man. Me like runs and score. And
you're not simple, though.
Win.
Because your side chick is in town. In case you're not familiar with Paul's history of women, I mean baseball teams.
Whoa.
He spent the first couple of years of his life loving the Boston Red Sox. Typical Boston fan.
My parents
everything
had relations there.
Khakis, Boston.
Yeah.
He then pulled a Drake and a bandwagon and stopped loving the Red Sox because of bad decisions in the franchise.
Well, they smeared people. Also, the Astros got good, and I lived here.
So he lived here. He moves here after college.
I'm not even going to deny it.
Right,
I jumped on the bandwagon. Whatever.
And he jumps on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Which is why he's decked out in Astros gear often. But then he moves to Seattle for just a couple of years. What, less than 2 years? And he starts a fling, an affair, you may say.
I had to pander to survive.
With the Mariners.
I had to pander. I had to pander to survive. I started a new radio show. What do you want from me, woman?
Back to Houston.
Damn it, woman. It's not my fault.
Now loves the Astros again. So his side chick is in town, but he's wearing his wedding ring, a.k.a. his Astros hat, to let the Mariners know,
look,
I'm staying at home with the kids. I'm not leaving my wife, but we can get a hotel room.
It's weird because while I was up there, I do want everyone to know this. Whenever Astros cheating stuff was brought up, I always was like, wasn't that big of a deal. I always was, and I got crucified for it every single time. Probably, in retrospect, not the smartest decision. But I did come to like Mariners fans because, like a lot of y'all were from 2011 through 2015, they grew to be jaded, but still watching the team fans that just constantly roast the team for some of the badness. Because their history is, I mean, they're the worst team in baseball history. They really are. And I appreciate fans like that. It's why I like Texans fans so much, because Texans fans are basically like, yeah, this is all terrible, but at least we sort of have some fun with ourselves about it. So that's why I
self-deprecating, if you will.
I grew to like Mariners fans, and while I would pick the Astros in a series against the Mariners, it's weird because I know that there are some division rival. Oh, I got to feel this kind of hostile volatility towards them. And I would say, no, of all the teams in the American League West, the Angels, I don't like the Angels just who they are, like what they're trying to represent, which is OC Los Angeles, which is all the bougie folks from LA. So it's like the worst of the worst. The Oakland A's are a bunch of cheap poors who should never, ever, ever be lauded for any of the things they do. And the Texas Rangers are the team that plays in South Oklahoma, and you can't root for them. But the Mariners, yeah, it's...
Just
it's
don't
good
wear
terms.
A split jersey. Just don't wear a split jersey.
I won't wear a split jersey.
Meanwhile, the NBA playoffs continue. Golden State winning against the Grizzlies 117-116. That was a great game. It came down to some mistakes. Ja Morant missing a layup. Klay Thompson did not have a good night, but made the go-ahead three. And if that's how the rest of the games are going to go, that's going to be a good series.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, looking at all the games that took place this weekend, I'm kind of bummed out that Boston's physicality is not a match for Giannis Antetokounmpo at
all.
The
Bucks win 101-89, game one of the East semis.
Yeah, that sucked. I'm not going to lie. That was the cold pill of reality that I needed, because I was starting to feel very good about the Boston Celtics.
Oh, like the Celtics are different than the Nets, or excuse me, like the Bucks are different than the Nets?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Who would have thought?
I love Giannis. Definitely better defenders, much larger.
Oh, well, hang on. I don't know if they're better defenders. I don't know about that.
Okay, so then what's your take?
The Celtics defense is awesome. I'm just saying that
Giannis and the Nets.
What? Hang on. Wait a second.
She's saying the Bucks defense is better than the Nets.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you got real Boston defense. Have you seen that clip of Tatum trying to, like, physicality D up Giannis, and he gets thrown all across the gym?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that wasn't happening against Kevin Durant.
Right.
No, Kevin Durant's skinny. Yep, and I was wondering about how this would go. And, I mean, considering they did that without Chris Middleton, one of their best players, I mean, yeah, I'm going to try to duck Joel Blank on my way out, noted Bucks fan. I'm just going to try to
just not make eye contact.
I'm just going to say, like, hey, did you watch Ozark this weekend? And then as he talks about Ozark, just drift out. Hopefully.
So you're still on the Celtics train, just not the Red Sox?
No.
Yeah, the Celtics never smeared Tito Francona.
Thank you.
That's the difference.
Or Noma Garcia Parra, dude. Freaking ridiculous.
No split jerseys. But yeah, but the NBA Finals, this is definitely a side rant, but when people say that they don't like the NBA's product, I do understand that the NBA has changed, but the final...
It's too woke.
But these are fun games. Like, I know, if you go woke, you go broke. I've heard it all before. But
I don't care about no politics, just bounce the ball.
Am I home in Terre Haute, Indiana? What is this?
What happened to fundamentals?
I don't know how you can't like the NBA, especially during playoff time.
Well, they don't have the song by Pitbull leading into the games anymore. Playoffs. It's going down. Playoffs. I'm yelling, Timber, playoffs.
I hated that.
Bigger the gun, the harder the ball.
Giannis
playoffs.
With the triple-double. Of course, we expect some dominance from him throughout the rest of the playoffs. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we want to hear from you. We asked you this a couple segments ago. No, we love it. AFC South predictions. Paul is going to talk about his favorite quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, and why he really believes in him. Coming up on ESPN 92.5 and 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. And our producer, of course, as always, is the wonderful Sean Mapes. And we're reeling from a great draft weekend. That was fun. Vegas was a fun draft city.
It really was.
The Bellagio fountains.
I'm
Wayne
not gonna
Newton,
lie.
Johnny Osmond.
Oh, Wayne Newton, good God. How old is he, 100?
90. I think he's like 90, right?
Is he 90?
I think so.
That face is just so damn tight. So I suppose, and I've never partaken, but I suppose there are some perks to Botox use.
He is 80 years old.
80
he's
years old?
80.
Just turned 80, April 3rd.
Wow.
Another April boy.
How old is his liver?
Oh, God.
His liver was... at the very least, filtering enough alcohol for him to walk on Friday night. But he had no idea where he was.
No.
What he was saying. He had a big smile on his face, though.
It was a permanent frozen smile from the Botox. It was a cool... there was Donny Osmond, and then Kyle Brandt, and then Wayne Newton. Boom, boom, boom. That was a fun stretch.
Wayne Newton went up there with Marcus Allen, and Marcus Allen's like, what the hell is this guy's deal? Who is he? There are a couple of times where he side-eyed him, and he was like, what?
It's always funny when they try to mix. Like, do you remember when they did the Field of Dreams game, and afterwards some of the players were like, yeah, we've never seen the movie?
Yeah, not surprising.
That's how, like, Wayne Newton with some of these draft picks, they're like, yeah, Wayne Newton.
Am I allowed to present a side-tracking take
absolutely.
To the table?
Absolutely.
Okay, you guys ready? I know some of our audience isn't going to like this one.
Oh, no.
Field of Dreams, not a good movie.
Oh, Bull Durham's better, but it's not bad.
but it's way overrated.
Yeah.
Wow. A crazy Iowan decides to build a baseball field in a cornfield so that he can have a catch with his papa.
Yeah, Bull Durham. Wow. Bull Durham is the superior baseball movie.
Oh, yeah, and I haven't seen it, but I know that because it's a low bar
Kevin Costner,
to beat Field of Dreams. Well, he's in this one, too. Okay.
True. Then for Love of the Game. Kevin Costner had a fun run with baseball movies for a while.
Say you were married to Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. He's like in his prime. He's throwing 100. He's about as good looking as he's ever going to look.
Okay.
But he goes crazy and decides to build a baseball field in the cornfield in your backyard. And he's using all the family savings. Little Timmy's college fund. It has gone now to him creating a baseball field again in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa. Which is saying something, because all of Iowa is a cornfield,
building
but the cornfield
the
is
family
cornfield.
Savings thing would set me off. But I am all for giving me time, so if you want to go out there and if they build it, they will come, whatever, like, have fun.
It just sounds... What if they didn't come, though?
But what if they didn't come?
Who was he smoking?
For Kevin Costner, they'll come.
Yeah. If you build it, they will come. Frank Thomas, fun fact, my friend Frank, the Big Hurt, actually bought the Field of Dreams.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they will come for Kevin Costner. You're damn right they will, Sean.
She's going to love his field.
It took me like 20 seconds, but once I realized what had happened, they will come for Kevin Costner. Yeah.
Frank Thomas here for eugenics and for
having trouble coming for Kevin Costner.
He bought the Field of Dreams. When Frank Thomas was here for the World Series, I talked to him and Kevin Burkhardt, and Frank was like randomly like, yeah, I bought the Field of Dreams.
Oh,
so
my God, dude.
It's in good hands. Moving on to okay.
No.
Sean. It just took me.
You did derail the segment. Congratulations, Paul.
You know what? Whatever. What a direction we want.
We went from Frank Thomas and Kevin Costner.
I'm sorry.
Costner had a good run of baseball movies. And the order goes, number one, Bull Durham. Number two, probably Field of Dreams, and then number three for Love of the Game. I guess you could switch for Love of the Game.
I've never seen any of these movies.
You haven't?
Never seen any of them.
You haven't seen Field of Dreams?
I feel like I get Field of Dreams. Like what Paul just said, they build a cornfield and dead baseball
players. Yeah, but you need to see Bull Durham. Susan Sarandon. But promise, that's you guys'
I need to watch
assignment.
Maybe we could do that together. We could watch Bull Durham. I'm sorry.
In your flea-infested apartment.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a good point. It is. We're going to have to fix that. I'm sorry. Is it bad that I can't get over the Frank Thomas eugenics commercial? His nickname is the Big Hurt. Ladies, you're gonna like it.
You'd think they'd get Randy Johnson, the Big Unit, right?
That's true. That would make a lot more sense. Hey, ladies. God, he was a tall.
Yes.
Son of a biscuit. Sorry.
Speaking of tall sons of biscuits, a lot of tall guys drafted in the NFL.
Nice
draft.
Transition.
Am I right? Oh, my God. I don't know how we're going to get back on track.
I'm trying my hardest. I can't.
No, it's okay.
Laughing.
No, you know what? You laugh. I'll talk about something that a lot of our listeners do care about, which is the AFC South. Look.
Okay. Oh, there. There we go.
You got not me much back. Of a transition you can
you
do from
back.
Kevin Costner coming, but the AFC South is of interest. We've heard how loaded the AFC is.
Yeah.
For this upcoming season in general, and while the AFC.
It's a good day. Whatever.
But he has actual tears coming from his eyes.
Right,
like he's
hilarious.
Like there's physical water coming from his eyes. But the AFC West has gotten a lot of attention. The AFC in general, but specifically the AFC West. I'm not just saying this because the Texans are in the AFC South. I actually think the AFC South is going to be fun for a few years to come, and it is in particular because of this draft. If you would have asked me before the draft, who's the favorite to win the AFC South for this upcoming season, I would have said it's probably between the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah.
Right? Given their history, the competitiveness, some of the moves that they've made, I think the Titans kind of handed it to the Colts on a platter, in a way.
Yeah,
it's almost stunning. They traded A.J. Brown over a $2 million dispute, and they bring in and they draft Treylon Burks. Now, Burks could end up being a great wide receiver. He could be better than A.J. Brown. When you look at statistics of the draft, the statistics say that probably won't happen because the draft is, as Nick Caserio says, and as everybody always says, a crapshoot, and you really don't know the value until years to come. So the Titans trade A.J. Brown. They do draft Malik Willis, which I liked that move because I've never believed in Ryan Tannehill, nor have you. But to me, this draft put the Colts as the heavy favorites to win the AFC South for this year.
I'm not going to go so far as to say heavy, but because they didn't do a lot this weekend, right, too. Like, it's still pretty much the same team because they've traded some of the draft picks
away. They
drafted
some super athletic guys.
They did. Well, look, we will see what ultimately ends up happening for Indianapolis. But I think before the draft even happened, Vanessa, that's when the Colts, I think, established that they're ahead of the Titans right now. They got Matt Ryan. They upgraded their quarterback position, at least in principle, assuming Matt Ryan is still somewhat close to the same player that he'd been 4 or 5 years ago when he won the MVP. I don't know if that's still the case. I doubt it, in fact. But I think that in Matt Ryan, you feel a lot better than you did with Carson Wentz going into the year. And
finishing games.
And Tennessee, they made the job of a quarterback that needs all the help you can get more difficult. Now, as has been correctly brought up on the text line 713-780-3776 and on Twitch, giving a wide receiver a big-time contract can be very dangerous if you are a contending team. It really can set you back a tremendous way and give you limited flexibility going forward. And there are a couple that have said, well, look, A.J. Brown's had some injury history, but it's – why did I say history? But it sounded like I'm Sean Connery, R.I.P. There is a difference, though, between – drafting a guy in the first round and hoping that he pans out, and a guy that you know is proven, and Tannehill needs all the help he can get.
Right, because I think that Ryan Tannehill has been on the downward spiral for a while now. I don't know if you watch football how you cannot think that.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill has just straight up not been good.
Right, and it's because I think it's just this past season, he loses his offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, who goes to the Falcons, and sometimes a good offensive coordinator, when paired up with a good quarterback like that, or a average quarterback, that coordinator can get more out of him. Then he leaves, and then you see the difference. And you can make that case with Matt Ryan post Kyle Shanahan. But anyway, what I was trying to get to, and I got sidetracked because I couldn't speak English. Jeffrey Simmons for the Titans, they have to give him an extension at some point. So would you rather give it to a defensive lineman or a wide receiver? It makes more sense to give it to the defensive lineman. Tennessee was theoretically on the precipice, and they didn't get better. They essentially stood pat this offseason.
And that could be worth something. If the Colts experience some injuries, I mean, I'm not saying the Titans can't win the AFC South, but I'm saying this. I actually think the AFC South is going to be fun to watch within the next couple of years because it's going to be competitive. The Jags had 7 selections, including, of course, that number one overall pick, and Trevor Lawrence now has a competent Super Bowl-winning head coach in Doug Peterson. You have the Texans that have a competent front office, it seems like, for the first time in a long time. The Colts did a typical Colts draft. They drafted a lot of athletic guys. They got Alec Pierce. And now they have Matt Ryan, who can actually step up in big moments and finish games. And then the Titans, I think the Titans, like I said, in some ways handed the AFC South championship to the Colts. But they still have exciting young players. Can Derrick Henry be vintage Derrick Henry? So I know that the AFC West is going to get all the attention. I am well aware that the AFC is super loaded. But I think the AFC South is going to be exciting in the years to come and has a lot of young players that are going to make it fun to watch.
I think, though, I'm still going to feel the same way, Vanessa, for every single Texans AFC South game that I always did. I always was like, damn it. Like, outside of the Colts games where I felt like, okay, this is a game that actually matters.
Because it was a competitive, yeah.
Well, because the Colts are a franchise that has earned respect over the years. But I remember any Texans, Jaguars, or Titans game when I was at NRG Stadium, I was just like, this sucks. Like, it just, because those teams are always boring. I want better quarterbacks in the division.
Better quarterbacks? Maybe some younger quarterbacks, because now you have Trevor Lawrence and Davis Mills.
You do, and okay, maybe one of those two takes a step forward. It's weird that we're saying that about Trevor Lawrence, by the way, right?
Like, yeah.
It is not a foregone
conclusion.
There's
also no in between, because you have Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill, who are older, and Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence, who are both going to be in their second years. You don't have that middle-of-the-line age-wise. I mean, it's like two dads versus two sons. So that's our AFC South chatter mixed with our Kevin Costner chatter.
I can't believe that I cried. Like, it wasn't that funny, but I was legitimately dying of laughter there. That's the hardest I've laughed in a really long time. That was great.
It was. It was probably therapeutic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
after a weekend of fleas, you needed it.
Yeah, my cat has fleas.
Yeah, your cat, quote unquote.
I don't have
fleas. Coming up on Vanessa and
Humans don't get fleas.
Does Paul have fleas? plus, there is a really, really bad owner in the MLB that should make Texans fans at least appreciate that we are on the upward spiral. That's next.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Oh, I love trash!
Garbage time.
It's garbage!
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is time for our Garbage Time segment. And we start with a story that I'm going to let Paul read.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Amber Heard's Reddit account name is. I don't know if Amber Heard is also a Cincinnati Reds fan. But on the Cincinnati Reds Reddit, someone by the name of an Ohioan Redditor wrote this. During the Friday, May 6th game against the Pirates, I will be scaling the wall to, let's just say, drop the kids off in the bed of the Toyota Tundra.
Yeah.
If anyone can take photos of me, I'd appreciate it. Also, if anyone is down to also bleep in the bed of the truck, meet me under the smokestacks in the top of the fourth inning. Cheers!
Oh, God.
It's been an interesting year for Reds fans because you have the president of the team.
Yeah, Phil Castellini that said, where else will you go?
When asked about how ownership is being rightfully criticized for dumping off some good players like Winker and Adam Frazier, Eugenio Suarez to the Seattle Mariners at the beginning of the year. Like, they're just stripping parts. But the fans are striking back. Do you think that they will televise this? Do you think that people will actually get pictures of this? Or do you think this is just a vague online threat that will not be enacted on?
Well, there was a video of somebody with a bag over their head at the Reds game. And while they were on camera, I believe on the regional network, Bally Cincinnati or whatever, one of the security guards made them take it off.
And the microphone picked it off.
And it reminded me of when the Texans fans had the Fire Jack Easterby sign and were removed from NRG Stadium.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Can't do that.
You can't. You should be able to because of freedom of speech and you're the one purchasing a ticket and you're not disturbing anything. That's my opinion.
If you don't say anything like, hey,
egregious, like, or I'm going to kill
bleeps,
you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're saying something like, hey, fire somebody, that should be totally allowed. And if you think it's classless to do that, well, I don't know, win games because there's nothing more classy than winning.
I agree, and if you're Phil Castellini, the Castellini family, you probably shouldn't say, on opening day in Cincinnati, well, fans want to leave, where are the fans going to go?
How do you stop this from happening? You have a vague online threat of an Amber Heard wannabe who wants to drop a deuce in the Toyota Tundra. You got to protect the Toyota brand. So, I mean, are you going to have security? Are you going to move some of your security that's at the entrance of the stadium? You're going to move it to protect the Tundra. We must protect this Tundra.
I've worked in Cincinnati, Ohio for 2 years, and the fans there are very passionate.
Oh, so they're known to poop in the Toyota Tundra.
No, they're not like Philadelphia Eagles fans, but I'm just saying they've been through a lot. Until this season with the Super Bowl and UC and Luke Fickell going to the Final Four for college football, until this past year, they have had really, really, really bad luck with their sports teams.
And I would imagine if you have Skyline Chili, it would make it...
Oh, God. Oh, Paul.
What? I mean, listen, you could just throw this Skyline Chili on the Toyota
Tundra.
It's
disgusting. You know what? Let's break up the poop talk real quick and remind our listeners that we have a very exciting event happening.
This isn't poopy.
Next season, or next week. It's the 2022 Listener Appreciation Party. Join us along with Keyshawn Johnson from ESPN. This is going to be fun. Wednesday, May 11th at St. Arnold Brewery. We're going to be broadcasting live from noon to 9. You're going to get great beer, delicious food. There's going to be door prizes and a lot more. Chef Ryan at St. Arnold even came up with a special pizza for Keyshawn called Just Give Me the Damn Pizza.
Of course.
Based on his book, Just Give Me the Damn Ball. So come out Wednesday, May 11th for the Listener Appreciation Party at St. Arnold Brewery.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun. We're going to be there, Joel, John, no the wheelhouse.
No one's going to violate a Toyota Tundra at our party.
God, it's disgusting. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski had a draft party in Las Vegas that involved a unicorn, pro wrestler, and of course, Papa Gronk.
Wait, An actual unicorn?
He had failed to chug a full can of beer at the outset of his party, Gronk Beach, Las Vegas, that started noon Friday. Taking the main stage at Encore Beach Club, Rob Gronkowski, this is according to US Today, danced for about 5 minutes before bending over slightly at the waist, looked winded. He wasn't as gronky as he used to be. He wasn't as energetic. It wasn't as crazy, but it was still a very fun party with the chain smokers.
Oh, nice. Syracuse guys.
Yeah. Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh,
fun
shocker.
Facts.
What does that mean? Baby, take me closer. There's a unicorn here.
A man in a unicorn suit. I feel like I have to.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yes, I'm reading the USA. It's misleading, but a man in a gorilla suit and someone in a unicorn suit.
Yeah, it wasn't a real unicorn. Yeah, I should have specified costumes.
Or they could have just put a horn on a horse.
I was wondering if, they were going to bring, if they brought a horse and they put a horn on him and they brought him out to a beach club.
It's a very Gronk thing to do.
They did have Julian Edelman, Travis Kelce, Russell Westbrook was there, Deebo Samuel. So it was a very Gronk party as far as the guest list goes. Would you go to a Gronk party in Las Vegas and could you handle a Gronk party in Las Vegas?
I don't know if I can anymore.
I don't know if I can hang like I used to. That's a lot.
Yeah, I had a long day on Saturday, and I mean, I'll give myself credit for
another Saturday
making it to the finish line. But it was go out at 1:30, get home at 2 a.m. One of those.
Wow.
Well, it was we had a block party.
You can't
friends.
Hang. You act like you can't hang, but the fact that
we'd see you in a gorilla suit.
12 hours
chopping it up.
I did not give myself enough nutrition. There was a point in the day where I was like, damn, I don't think I'm going to need to drink for 5 hours. Let's just see if we can stay awake.
I don't think I've partied for 12 hours in years.
Yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
But
it just happens.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
Almost every weekend.
Damn, I sound like I'm going through a midlife crisis, huh?
Yeah, you do. But
maybe
one thing
I need some eugenics.
Out of the three of us, you may be the oldest. The big hurt, but you can definitely hang the longest.
My liver, the big hurt. Am I right?
Peacock, NBC streaming service, is set to be the home of NBC Universal's Story of LeBron James. It's going to be called Shooting Stars, and it will follow James's origin story
Hashtag
as a high school basketball
king.
Player and is currently in production in his hometown of Akron.
I can't wait for the show to feature a future LeBron talking to a younger LeBron.
I can't tell you how much I don't want to see this movie.
If LeBron's not in this show, is it actually real? LeBron will somehow force his way into this movie to have a very important role and somehow will try to find a way to get himself into the best supporting actor conversation as an actor.
Also, it's hilarious that normally these kind of movies about a single athlete, it's like an underdog story.
Right.
It's invincible.
Right.
It's the replacements or something.
Right.
He is not an underdog.
No.
How is this a movie? I mean, I guess, single parent home.
No, but he was
the best basketball player ever when he was 16.
On the cover of Sports Illustrated at 15 or 16, right?
Yeah, he drove a Hummer in high school.
The problem is you're going to have the 100 emojis and the young king and
the promo will be insufferable.
Oh my God.
I am well aware that LeBron James is one of the greatest players ever. You could say he's the greatest, whatever. That's a speak for your pizza, as you always say, debate topic when it's a slow news day. I know that he's one of the greatest. It's cool. I've gotten to see him play in person. Love it. But I don't want to see a movie about his life. He is so obnoxious.
No?
No. No desire.
Really?
Not at all. And the second Space Jam? Hard to watch.
I can't believe you watched it.
It was tough to watch. And I know it was geared towards kids.
I didn't watch it because they made Lola the Bunny unsexy. That was the only reason I was going to watch.
Would you?
I love how there was such an outrage over that.
Yeah.
It was such a stupid thing to get mad about.
And what was the other thing? Pee-Pee LePew they didn't put in there because of sexual harassment.
I mean, that one makes sense.
Here's the
thing. Apparently there is a scene where LeBron explained consent to him that they cut out.
Shut up.
That might be ball sex sports, but I want to believe it.
I want that to be true, too.
Here's the thing with the Pepe Le Pew thing. The women that were harassed that spoke up during the Me Too movement, I stand with you always, but this is a cartoon character. A skunk.
None of those women stood up and spoke about Pepe Le Pew. It was very real harassment.
Why didn't they speak up about Lola Bunny's empowerment?
Sexy.
She was very empowered and they took her power away.
Would you spill beer on a date that you took to a baseball game to try to get a foul ball?
No. Foul balls are stupid.
Because that is what happened at a Cleveland Guardians game.
Oh my God.
A guy was trying to catch a foul ball and the beer just spilled all over his date.
No, here. So the only reason I would get up is because I don't want to be the guy who stands to the side while my significant other gets biffed in the face.
Yeah,
that's because remember that happened at an Astros game once.
It did.
Where he didn't stand in the way, and his lady, you know, got hit.
You got to be a hero there. I'm all for equality in relationships, but if somebody's going to get it hit in the face, make it be the man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's still some things that the man needs to do.
This is true.
That wraps up a Monday of Vanessa and Glant. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up next, we have Killer Bees. You have Joel Blank. You have Jeremy Branham. Make sure you stick with it, guys. Thanks.
Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.